Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
The nature of the vile conversation that I have to listen to as I'm sitting here trying to get ready for a show. My brain is emblazoned. And it's always Mikey.
Yes.
It always starts with that sick freak. Hey, shut up. I'm trying to do a show. What? I don't want to hear about that crap you were bringing up.
You can pull your headphones off. You don't have to listen
Mark,
to me.
Mark, notice I didn't say anything because I wanted to see who among us would tell him to stop first, and it was you.
I don't even know why the conversation existed to begin with.
He just wanted to know he wasn't alone.
Yeah. Now, we have a ton of show. Do you remember Conrad Murray, the doctor who administered the propofol to Michael Jackson?
Right.
He's written a book.
Oh.
And in the book, he talks about Michael's sexual side. And it's pretty bizarre. And my first thought was, are we to believe Conrad Murray?
I was going to say, how would he know?
Well, it's it sounds like a cash grab. Mm-hmm. He lost his medical license. So, sorry, we'll talk about it.
Is he writing this from jail?
I think he's out.
Is he? Okay.
I think. Okay. The Melania Trump speech is still everywhere, almost word for word. We'll talk about that. New words that are being entered into dictionary.com. A man is suing a strip club, claiming the club coerced him to spend a whole bunch of money. Chris Christie's on the hot seat at the Republican convention last night. He attacked Hillary, and then the room began to chant, "Lock her up." He's in a little bit of trouble. A reporter called him on it. Listen to these guests today. Lenny Dykstra, porn star Ron Jeremy, Danny Trejo, Ray Parker Jr. on one show.
It's a lot of show.
What did I do?
Nothing. It's Trejo. It's same. You got it.
Trejo.
Yeah, you're fine.
Good God. Again, Mikey.
Tarzan.
Four reasons today doesn't suck. We speak with Donald Trump. Oh, we're eating. A chef has invented, get this, a grilled cheese sandwich with spaghetti on it.
I forgot that was today.
Why did it be my lunch?
And we lost one of the greatest people and one of the greatest writer, producer, directors overnight, Gary Marshall. I will speak about my relationship with Mr. Marshall on the other side of Led Zeppelin. This is Mark in the Morning. You're sampling the best. And he was the best. Gary Marshall, a friend of mine, but a friend to everybody. Gary Marshall was a writer beginning in the 50s with Sid Caesar's show of shows, where he would just lump up in a room with a bunch of other writers. They'd smoke cigarettes and write jokes. And then he moved on to, of course, Sunday, Monday, Happy Days, giving us some of the best television of the 70s, Happy Days, and of course, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but my experience with Gary was one of friendship. Met him on the Mark and Brian program. He always brought the funny. We always talk about guests when they come in. They're the comedian. Some don't. Some do. Gary was never, never not funny on the show. And when I made my first movie, Mother Ghost, I asked Gary if he would be in it. Of course. And he showed up on the set. It was a one-day shoot. It was he and Charles Durning who was in the film. This is the opening credits to the movie. And one thing a lot of people don't know about Gary, other than his career and obviously his family, the biggest passion that Gary had was softball. He played like on five teams.
What?
And while he was on the set for Mother Ghost, he had brought a home plate and he made his assistant catch as he practiced pitching.
Oh.
And we would shoot him and then he would go back to softball.
I never heard that.
In fact, I was doing a play that I had written, and I asked Gary if he would come to the play. And he showed up in his softball uniform. He had finished the game, and then he came to see the play. And I asked for his advice, and Gary told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. He said, there are two kinds of acting. There's film acting, and there's stage acting. you tonight were on a stage, but you were giving me film acting. You've got to put more energy into it when you're on stage. It's a bigger, bigger thing, which I thought was fantastic of him. And with Mother Ghost, he brought his wife to the premiere. And I met her afterwards, and she loved that movie. And she asked if I could get her a copy, which I did, and she hugged it before they left. Now, Gary was with me on so many occasions and so very funny, but he was on Mark in the Morning. And I wanted to write something funny for him. And based on the way that Gary said the word dog, he said, "Ye dog." We wrote up a thing for him to do, a comedy piece. He brought it, and he had made notes all over it, but he never once looked at it. Here it is.
There's other problems besides dogs, you know. Maybe there's still Nazis around. I don't know. I don't check. But maybe. I mean, what's going to happen? A bunch of German shepherds are going to get together, try to take over France? I don't think so. I'm making jokes, but I'm saying I think dogs should not run around. The world has changed. It used to be four cars were in Berlin. But now there's cars. Dogs can get hurt. You got to keep them on a leash now, and I feel. And if you want to protest this, everybody has an opinion. I'm in film. Make a dogumentary.
And I guess in the world of film, the movie he's best known for is Pretty Woman.
Do I look okay?
Something's missing.
Well, nothing else is going to fit into this dress, I'll tell you that.
Maybe something in this box. I don't want you to get too excited. It's only on loan.
Oh!
Gary invited Brian and I to be in Princess Diaries. So we did the show and left immediately to get down there. The moment we got there, it was time for us to shoot. We're shooting on a beach in Malibu, and we're DJs at a party. And so we're shooting it, and we had done the words exactly as they're written, and then Gary with his megaphone, which, by the way, he was always concerned about people getting burned in the sun. He would put suntan lotion on you himself. And through his megaphone, we were shooting, and he goes, "Mark and Brian, you gotta say your names. You gotta promote." So we finished the scene. I had not had a chance to eat. So I went to the table, and there was nuts, and I'm just eating peanuts. And then Gary calls us down to do wild lines, do audio, clean audio that you can use if you need it. And I'm still chewing, and Gary says, "Go, do it." So I do it, and I'm obviously still chewing, and Gary, "Okay, let's do it again, this time less nuts." That's just who he was. He was just one of the great. Oh, and when he was on, he was always looking for talent. And when he was on Mark in the Morning, the show was over. Katie was up here. And Gary was out in the hallway, and I could see Gary and Katie talking. And Gary's laughing, and Katie's laughing. And after they finished, Gary walks over to me and gets right in my face, and he says, "I could make a star out of her." I said, "Take her. Go with it." So Gary, I don't think, ever made anything that didn't have heart in it. And I was touched by this. I got this from Dwayne. "Mark, I'm so sorry. I know as the world mourns and reflects back on Gary Marshall and the joy that he brought us all, but I'm sure that you're taking this very hard. As you both gave each other opportunities in your careers, but most important, the bond you had as friends. I will never forget the Mark and Brian days when Mr. Marshall was on. But the time he was on Mark in the Morning is my favorite. And the excitement in your voice that he was going to be on your show and say, dog." Mark, he is now looking down on you, and I'm sure his first stories in heaven were to your parents and your sister about how wonderful you are. Keep your head up. We all love you and are proud of you. My thoughts to Mr. Marshall's family and, of course, to you. Thank you both for a lifetime of laughs and memories, Dwayne." To Mrs. Marshall, all of Gary's kids and the grandkids, he was such a wonderful family man. My heart bleeds for you. He was one of the greatest men I ever knew. And obviously, beyond that, he was talented. But he was my friend. So I, as all of you, I hurt today. And we will revisit some scenes, and it won't be this. It's going to be funny. Gene and I were talking about it. The movie Lost in America with Albert Brooks and Gary Marshall. That it's scene. One of the funniest scenes ever. So we will mourn Gary all morning while moving along and doing a radio show. But thank you guys for giving me that time.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And if you remember, about 2 weeks ago, we had Brian Justin Crum from America's Got Talent. We had him. We played his Queen cover, Somebody to Love, and it blew the house down. Everybody thought it was amazing. Well, last night he did Creep by Radiohead, and it started off really, really bad, but then he just nailed it. Check it out.
But I'm a creep.
So good, and then all of a sudden something happens to him.
I don't belong here. Oh, oh, he's running out. He's run. He's running out. He's run.
Yeah, the guy can sing, and he's probably going to win the whole thing. Yeah, there you go. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
We're joined now by one of the greats of the game of professional baseball, Lenny Dykstra. He's got a new book called House of Nails, A Memoir of Life on the Edge, which is available now. He was named to 3 All-Star teams, and he played in 2 of the most memorable World Series games of the modern era, 86 and 93. Good morning, Lenny.
Hey, good morning.
Now, Steve Garvey is a buddy of mine, and he and I were talking. Steve, of course, played for the Dodgers for his entire career. Well, he went to San Diego, but mostly was a Dodger. Steve and I were talking, and he talked about a certain night when everything came together as an athlete. And he said the baseball was the size of a basketball, and my eyesight was so strong I could actually see the wood of the bat bending as I would swing. Do you recall moments of your career that were like that?
Not really. I mean, but I'm sure Steve and I weren't taking the same vitamins, you know?
So what is your book going to share about you and your career that most people don't know?
There's a few things, actually. Like there's been one left-handed hitter that in the history of the game go to the plate the most times, and that's me. So I went to more times than anybody that's ever played the game, as far as a left-handed hitter goes. Plate appearances, I'm also going to share about, you know, how the game is played, how it's supposed to be played, and how a guy like me would lead the league in hits for 2 seasons because I figured out how to hit. It's a much, much more, it's not like baseball like you think it is. It's a grind, you know, it's a 6-month grind. And so, And then there's a lot of other stuff too, but but the book, I mean, it's about a baseball player, but it's not about baseball per se, you know.
That makes sense.
Well, the book is House of Nails, A Memoir of Life on the Edge, which is available now. Lenny, thank you for the time.
Hey, awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
See ya. Coffee, Lenny. Coffee. Work it up. All right, so last night, the Republican National Convention, Donald Trump officially became the party's nominee.
I'm so proud to be your nominee for President of the United States. I look forward to sharing my thoughts with you on Thursday night on how we build a brighter and more hopeful future for all Americans.
He went on to say that he has now made history.
Together, we've achieved historic results with the largest vote total in the history of the Republican Party. This is a movement, but we have to go all the way.
And then Chris Christie got up on the stage, decided to attack Hillary, and allowed the crowd to scream, "Lock her up."
So we must ask this question. Hillary Clinton, as an awful judge of the character of a dictator and butcher in the Middle East, is she guilty or not guilty? Next in Iran, she launched the negotiations that brought about the worst nuclear deal in history. Let me be clear, America and the world are measurably less safe and less respected because of the Iran deal that Hillary helped cut, period. After she launched those negotiations, she became the biggest cheerleader for this agreement in the end. It's a deal that will lead to a nuclear Iran, an Israel that will be less safe and secure, and a much more dangerous Middle East. So let's ask it, Hillary Clinton, as an inept negotiator of the worst nuclear arms deal in American history, is she guilty or not guilty? Next.
Well, things got a bit heated between Tamron Hall and Scott Baio during an interview on MSNBC yesterday. A day after the Happy Days star spoke at the Republican National Convention, he sat down with Tamron for a live interview. She took the opportunity to call out the actor for tweeting disparaging memes about Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama.
You want me to be square and nice to everybody.
No, I don't. I let you talk.
And you want me to be sweet and gentle to a man, a president, who says, if they bring a knife to an argument, you bring a gun. That's what President Obama said.
I have one question. Why is Scott Baio involved in this?
Because nobody else would be.
Good God. Scott Baio. When was the last time you worked? And he speaks at the convention. Good. And he's fighting with television. What is going... Chachi is a part of this.
Yeah.
Mark, it got even worse. Your worst fears were confirmed the other day, because I don't know if it was someone from CNN, but they were interviewing him, and she said, "And finally, before I let you go, I just have to ask you, would Joni love Chachi for doing this?"
Yeah, I was going to say, if Scott Baio speak it, get Joni up there.
Yeah.
Let's let Joni talk to the Republican convention. Good God. Let's find out what is trending in the world. Here's Miss Grad.
Well, it's official. The RNC took a vote last night and made Donald Trump the official nominee of the Republican Party. Twitter is about to make it easier for users to get that coveted verified blue check mark by letting you apply for one instead of waiting to be asked. And here's what's trending in sports. The Angels won again last night against the Rangers.
We're
8-6.
Back.
He's back. They're back. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We speak to porn star Ron Jeremy, the real Ron Jeremy, just before 6:40, Mark and the Hedgehog in the morning.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
But first, Rush, this is Mark in the Morning.
Now, we already know that Queen is pissed because Trump used We Are the Champions Monday night. Well, Paul Rogers is not pleased as well that Trump's campaign continues using the song All Right Now at campaign events. He said, quote, "Permission to use All Right Now was never sought for and or granted by me. My attorney is dealing with this matter." What is the law? I mean, politicians do it anyway.
Right, they do it all the time.
That's not fair, because there are monies that should be paid.
Yeah.
So how do they get away with it?
I'm not totally sure. I think they just wait for a cease and desist and hope it never comes. And even if it does, it's already too late. You know, it's like you've accused someone of something in the public eye, and now it's up to them to say, no, but you've already done it. You know, they already used the song. So it's probably worth it.
Yeah. It's like they're crooked. I don't know why this kind of surprised me, but Lady Gaga and fiancé Taylor Kinney have called it quits after 5 years of dating.
After that big pink diamond?
Yeah. There have been recent signs of trouble, apparently, with Kenny absent from Gaga's social media feeds and her engagement ring absent from her ring finger. She was also nowhere in sight for the guy's 35th birthday celebration last week.
Sorry, Gaga.
Yeah, I don't know why it surprised me, but you would think that with as talented as she is and as together as she seems to be, that would be a solid relationship.
Yeah, but you know, I've always wondered about this. If a guy is super, super talented and rich and successful, it seems like it's much easier for him to grab a lady than it is for a super wildly successful woman to grab the man of her dreams. It doesn't seem equal in that way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if they're threatened by the success or I don't know. I don't know, but it seems like it would be more difficult.
Speaking of breakups, apparently the experiment didn't work. A week after saying she was seeing what it's like living on my own, Sharon Osbourne was spotted walking hand in hand with Ozzy. A source tells TMZ Sharon is angry and hurt, but Ozzy is begging her not to leave him. The family is falling apart. They are talking daily, and she still thinks there may be a chance that they can save their marriage, but she's told friends it is a constant battle. Ozzy was asked about it.
I mean, if I've got the time, I'll sort of try. I'm kind of somewhat paranoid because, as I said to you on the last show, there's some I attack some really spicy people. Not all of them. Wayne Dallas has been hounding me for years, you know.
It's never not funny. I will do that for the rest of my broadcast career.
Do you think she took a week off from him and finally just freaked out, opened her front door, and yet, Ozzy, come back! I miss you, Ozzy! I thought I could do it, but I called Ozzy!
I don't know, man. If what we heard was true, multiple partners, the hairdresser was a long-term thing. Now, I do wonder this. Was Sharon so busy with her career?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we've got Ron Jeremy. I'll just do this quick because we're out of time. We welcome Ron Jeremy in. Ron, welcome into the program.
It is simply great to be here. We are in Los Angeles together.
We are, and you are the only man that I have seen naked over 1,000 times, and I'm okay with it.
Oh.
Well, I respect that attitude. When you're on a beach and then there's a couple of stalls, you never know if you're a nice looking guy, the guy to your left or your right could be taking a little peek going, he's kind of cute. Let's see what he's dangling with. You never know.
Now, get this. Ron has starred in 1,700 films and has slept with over 4,000 women. But here's the thing. He's calling in to promote the Ron Jeremy t-shirts available now at smyrx.net. Ron, why is a guy that spent his career naked selling clothes?
That's very funny. Okay, you can go to the website, all the media, and they sell it as well. You know.
Are they funny shirts?
Oh, yeah. I think this is clean enough, Stan. Maybe it's to me, looking like I'm in a spaceship saying porn star on Uranus or something like that.
It's an astronaut funny joke.
You know? a lot of them are really funny. You know?
Well, Ron,
you pick whatever you like, and you can go to the Facebook, Instagram, or those as well, and Twitter, and they sell them as well. Yeah.
Ron, listen.
I did T-shirts years ago, and I've done T-shirts with bands like Twisted. I've done T-shirts before, but this is a guy who had a good sense of humor, made a good T-shirt, and I said, you know, I'll go with them, see how it goes, you know, and everyone's really happy with them. So.
Ron, I got to go. We're a little late, but I got to tell you, I am a fan. You were the original filthy talker in porn, and you've taught us all how to speak a little nasty in the bedroom. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and girls actually like it, as long as it's breathy, it's quiet, you're not going, oh, baby, feel so good. No, because you whisper it in a nice way, women do enjoy it. It's like, and obviously, so do guys when women talk.
Ron Jeremy t-shirts. Go get you one. Ron, thank you for the time.
Hey, can I mention one more thing?
Yeah.
There's also a online on with a pay-per-view. They now have a release of all the classic adult movies. How do they find it? My buddy's on the line.
Video on demand.
Oh, there's video on demand, and they look for a classic. What do they look at? Classic porn?
Yes, it is. It's the greatest adult films of all time.
They
really had decent budgets. They were shot on film. Not video, not DVD, no internet. Feature films. And these are the best adult films of the era of 70s and 80s, you know?
Well, Ron, thank you for the career. We've all thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you want to play 5 seconds for, I think it's $10 today, then yep. Dial 888-696-1003. Do it now. Something strange. We welcome now the singer-songwriter of this song, Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Now, Gina Grad is here with me. She is co-host of the Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah.
And she's
Hi.
Here with me.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Now, Ray, she was... Oh, by the way, first of all, what late-night show was it? Bill Murray was on it, and you were performing. You sounded great.
Oh, thank you. That was the Kimmel Show.
Yeah, that was awesome. You couldn't help but move to it. So, Gina was telling me that since the age of 14, you played with a whole bunch of Motown artists. What are some of those artists you played with?
Well, the first group I ever went on tour with was the Spinners, then Gladys Knight and the Pips. I used to play with it to 20 grand all the time, and all the Motown acts. Smokey Robinson and Marvin Gaye. I did a lot of stuff for a lot of his records and wrote some songs with him. And then Dude. Stevie Wonder took yeah. me out of college to go on tour with him and the Rolling Stones.
Impressed
I played
yet,
on
Mark?
The Talking Book album.
Right. I couldn't pick my nose at 14.
Actually, Mr. Parker, you have a great story about Marvin Gaye's car. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Oh, absolutely. Back in the day, there was a movie called Superfly. I think it was 1969 or 70. And there was a blue Cadillac with all of the padding and headlights, bug lights. It was like a pimped out ride. And Marvin Gaye had a burgundy version of that. And he came into the studio one day, and I think him and some of the other guys, they wanted to do something that they didn't want to 16-year-old kid to see. So he threw me the keys to his car, and I'm telling you, my head was right under the mirror. I was leaning so hard going back to high school.
Just to get him out of the way while they did whatever they were doing.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, Ray, I've not seen it yet, but the reboot of Ghostbusters, have you seen it?
I've seen it, and I saw it with my wife and three of my sons. And it's really, really good. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. You know, there's been so much hoopla up and down and Rotten Tomatoes, and I've heard about everything. I actually went to the theater a little bit scared. But the best way I could tell you, the first movie is like a great Fuji apple. It tastes delicious. The second, this movie is like a great orange that tastes delicious. They're just different. One's an apple and one's an orange.
Well, I said at the beginning when it was voted on as the most hated trailer on YouTube, I said, look, this is a comedy. Either the jokes are going to land or they don't. And you're saying that they mostly land.
Yeah, they mostly land. There's only one thing wrong with this entire movie, and that's my pretty face isn't in it. That's the only thing that's wrong.
Now, Ray's got an upcoming memoir around Christmas time called Who You Gonna Call. I'm assuming the book talks about the lawsuit from Huey Lewis. Did you wind up having to pay any of that money back?
Well, first of all, I can't talk about the lawsuit because they have a gag rule. But I don't know anything about any of that stuff. I mean, it didn't really affect me. I think it was more of a suit between the company and him. I don't know why I was named.
Well, Ray, I got to tell you, this song, I don't know how long ago the original Ghostbusters was, but listen to this thing is perky even today.
Who you gonna call?
It's just too good.
Yep.
So, Ray, other than writing your memoir, what do you spend these days doing?
Well, I've got my best friend, Sylvester Rivers, is actually going to write the book. So it's going to be a third-party book. It's not going to quite be a biography. It's going to be more like The Adventures of. And if anything goes wrong, I could blame it on him. That's the first thing. Then I have an album coming out called 1983, which sounds just like the name. It's going to be like 1983, those sounds. So it's going to be old-school music. And then I'm building a studio next door to my house because I got two sons out of four that have decided to major in music, and they're really, really good. And hopefully when they do the next version of Ghostbusters, you'll hear a cut sung by Gibson and Jericho Parker.
Oh, nice.
Well, Ray, my son is a professional musician, and I'm sure you can concur. I told him, you are a better drummer than I am at anything, but you've chosen the field of music, which is one of the hardest careers to try to make a living at.
It's true. But it's the most fun.
Yeah, he's out there every day trying to book gigs and whatever. Ray, right. Listen, I invite you to come in when your book is out so we can sit down and have some fun.
Oh, I'd love to, because there's going to be some stuff in there that's going to shock you.
Can't wait. Ray Parker Jr., thank you so much for the time, man.
Okay, thank you.
So I learned yesterday that I'm not supposed to say my name when the script begins.
You've been in plays and movies, right?
Yeah, I would always say my name.
Gotcha.
In mere moments, it is the contest everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for how much is it, Gina?
10 ducats.
But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It's the classic rock campaign bribe. Because bribing people is how you get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text INSIDE to this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mark in the Morning listeners 18 years of age or older in all 50 states are eligible. We'll have more bribes in our LA listeners, for our LA listeners at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret word is INSIDE, and the number to text to be in the drawing for $1,000 is 72881. Shut up!
Be proud, accept our bribe, and vote for classic rock at work. This is America, damn it!
5 seconds for $10.
All right, we go to the phone. Nico has called from Anaheim. Good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm just doing a radio show for all of Los Angeles.
He's
okay, good.
Yeah.
So, Nico, what do you do for a living?
I am a police officer.
Oh, dude. Man, that is got to be... I say it. Whenever I go into a restaurant and there is a cop, a fireman, or a service person, they eat free that day. Thank you so very much for what you do.
Thank you for appreciating.
Well, dude, I mean, times are tough right now.
He agrees silently.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Nico, I think we'll just play the game because I don't think you're in the mood to talk.
Oh, I just got off work, Mark. It's all good.
Okay, you're tired.
He's
I got
exhausted.
All right, well, Nico, before we go any further, now you're in Anaheim. Are you going to come see us at the Orange County Fair this Saturday?
I'm going to be at the fair Saturday. I can't make it there that early, though. I got two boys.
We're there at noon. What time do you go to the fair? 10 p.m.? You can't get up that early.
Just try. If you get there before 2 or 3, you'll walk by. You'll wave. We'll wave back.
All right, Nico, here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it, you get $10. If you don't, tomorrow's question is worth $15.
Got it.
You're a gifted conversationalist, Nico. I'm really enjoying this. Here we go. Let me get back to my thing.
He's out fighting crime. He doesn't have time for you.
That's right. I got it. Here's your question, Nico. Good luck. What is the 10th word of the Star Spangled Banner?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Early.
I love the attempt. It is not early. It's light.
Oh, what off. Oh, Nico,
were you counting in your head?
Oh, yeah, I counted too quick, though.
Well, Nico, listen.
Counting is not my strong, so that's why I'm a cop.
Hey, dude, listen. Again, we all thank you for what you do. You keep us safe and give us the freedom to go to the movie and do stuff like that. You put it on the line every day, and it is much appreciated.
Thank you very much. And you guys get me through my shifts. The podcast, that's all I listen to at work.
Oh. Nico, thank you, man. We appreciate it. What do you like about Mark in the Morning?
The humor. You're dry.
Okay.
Good
answer.
Well, we certainly make an attempt for that.
It fits right in.
All right. Well, Nico, thank you so much for the call. Now, on the other side of whatever song this is, we're going to share a moment from Gary Marshall's career. We lost him overnight. He was not only all of our friend, but he was my dear friend. And people don't ever talk about what a good actor he was. We're going to show you that right after this. So we lost Gary Marshall overnight. He was one of the great producer, director, writers, funny guy, family man, one of the greats. But he was also my friend. We had him on Mark in the Morning last year, and I asked him the origin of Jump the Shark.
Shark. Well, we were supposed to go to Hawaii. And
we're talking Happy Days, right?
Happy Days. Yes, we are talking about Happy Days, and all the cast was excited. Hawaii, woo! And then they said, "There's no money. You can't go to Hawaii. So go, go to Malibu, Pacific Island. And what are you going to do there? There's not too many Hawaiian dances on the beach in Malibu."
Now, let me stop you and go back. This was a huge hit. There's no money to go to Hawaii.
They wanted to save the money for some other shows that weren't doing so well.
It spread it around.
Yeah. No, but so they said, make a show. So I said, well, let them jump something. We had them jump garbage cans, and it was quite successful. It was Fonzie. One of the first Fonzie. Yes, Henry Winkler played Fonzie.
One of the nicest men in the world.
And a human being who couldn't ride a motorcycle, but we... We faked it for 11 years, but I must say, when jumping the garbage cans was the first ever a sitcom that said to be continued at the end.
Right.
That was, I was inventing stuff. Who knows what it was. Anyway, we're at the beach. We have nothing. So I said, let him jump over something. What's he going to jump over at a beach, they all said. I said, how about a shark? So Jaws was big, my son. So we made a fake shark, and he jumped over on water skis. And it was pleasant. It wasn't our best episode. And then these people said, hey, when Fonzie jumped the shark, the show went downhill. It ran for 4 more years. Pretty good hill we went down. But they use the term now. It's a part of American slang. Yeah. It's used all in politics and anything. When you're going down, you're jumping the shark. And that's the way it is. And I'm very proud we're part of it. And this is what is part of the business. I couldn't... if. I tried to make a phrase called sit on it, kind of a thing in Happy Days. It was okay. Jump the shark all over the world.
And sometimes you can't force. If you ever had a chance to meet Gary, you were a better person for it. He passed away last night at 81. And as I said, as a writer, director, producer, that's what people know him as. But he was also a really good actor.
Yes.
I'm going to show you a funny example of that at 7:20. So we lost Gary Marshall last night, age of 81. And Gary was a friend of all of us because of the body of work. I mean, he entertained us so many times with his TV and movies. And people talk about him as a writer and a producer and a director, but they don't talk about his acting. He had the ability to completely be himself in a scene. And it was mesmerizing. There was a little movie called Lost in America, starred Albert Brooks. Gary was in it. The setup is that Albert and his wife decided to quit their jobs, take their nest egg, buy an RV, and just tour the country. They stopped in Vegas. Albert's wife lost their entire nest egg.
The night they got there.
Yeah. So Albert goes to the head of the Desert Inn, played by Gary, and asks for his money back.
We represent the people who have taken the chance. And we made a mistake, and then the Desert Inn corrects it and gives it back. There is a warm feeling here.
But you don't think everybody then will want their money back?
No. In the campaign, you make a clear distinction between the bold, who would be my wife and I, and then all the other schmucks who come here to see Wayne Newton.
I like Wayne Newton.
I said Wayne Newton.
What were you talking about? I heard you say schmuck C. Wayne Newton. I like him. That makes me a schmuck.
Oh, no. I'm stupid to use an entertainer as a dividing point. I just had all the people that come here carefree on their way to see a show, and my wife and I, who, if you knew us, believe me, you would believe me.
You're bold.
Yes. So what do you think?
I don't think the sign's going to work and giving
by... The sign is wrong. A jingle. A television campaign. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
It's enough. The casino is our main means of income. Not the coffee shop, not the show. The casino, that's what pays all our bills. So if we give everybody their money back, we can't pay our bills. I'm sorry, we can't change our policy.
Okay, play a fun word game with me. This will do it. What do you think of when you think of a hunting lodge?
Hunt.
Yes. What do you think of when you think of a rest home?
Your rest.
So, you see, we're going to associate the Desert Inn with something beautiful. You don't think of anything here now, do you?
Gambling. That's why people come here.
That's
right. They gamble. They want to go to hunting lodge. They go to Wisconsin. They want to rest. They go to New Orleans. They want to gamble. They come to Vegas. That's what it's called, gambling, Las Vegas gambling. You see signs around this town with guys with guns shooting ducks? It's a gambling place. They don't shoot ducks, raccoons, beavers. They come to gamble. That's what we do here. Now, you're a nice guy. You make me laugh and everything. But our policy is we can't give you money back. I'm real sorry. Say goodbye to your wife. I got to go home.
What about Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it was. Now, there was Gimbel's, who was afraid that if they gave something up that they would lose. And they wound up benefiting. He was afraid that if he gave to Macy's, he would lose his business, and he didn't. It's the same situation. This costs you nothing. To give us our money back is nothing. You would be the one who would benefit.
Wrong. In that movie, Santa Claus took care of everything. There was Macy's, Gimbel's, but Santa Claus came, and he fixed the whole thing. We don't have Santa Claus.
Then we get him.
Who?
Santa Claus. We get him. That's the ad campaign. There it goes. I have the chills. We get Santa Claus. He's the one on the billboard. He hands us our nest egg. We associate for the first time ever Christmas and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, a Christmas place to be.
We're finished.
Gary, every year, this is the kind of guy he was. Every year, Gary would send me a Christmas card with pictures of him and his entire family. And when I got this job, Gary sent me an email.
All right, check this out. Got an email. We're going to talk about some of the comments we've gotten now. This will be our comments break.
Ooh,
oh, okay, great.
Nice.
It says, got this last night. Hello, Mark. Welcome back. I'm reading this from my iPhone. Hello, Mark. Welcome back. You sound terrific. You've got the family involved. Katie is great. You know I took nepotism to a new art form. Have fun. Keep up the funny and hope to see you soon. Best, Gary Marshall.
That's just the dude he was. And he will be missed. I kind of gave a tribute to him earlier this morning, but a good friend has passed away, and I hope that his family knows. There's an outpouring of love for this guy because he was so great. Okay, check this out. Remember Dr. Conrad Murray, who gave Michael Jackson that fatal dose of anesthesia? Recently released from prison, the disbarred physician has published a tell-all book depicting the gloved one's sexual desires. Murray's This Is It claims that Michael was not a pedophile, but he enjoyed sex with female prostitutes, especially skinny ones. Sometimes while he was dressed as a clown or a hospital patient.
Oh, stop it.
Let me say that again. Sometimes dressed as a clown or a hospital patient.
What happened to doctor-patient confidentiality?
Right. He deals with that.
Oh, okay.
To avoid being seen by paparazzi and reporters, Jackson allegedly stayed away from prominent hotels and instead booked his hookers at Las Vegas' little-known Gold Coast Hotel. In what may be a world-class example of chutzpah, Murray claims the book is not a cash grab, but a way to tell the story of who Michael was. He said, "Michael wanted me to tell this story. I'm simply fulfilling his wish."
You know, in a weird way, he might be telling the truth. Because there's nothing worse, there's pretty much nothing worse you could be called than a pedophile. So if he's saying, I promise you he wasn't, I'll tell you what he was into, but it wasn't that. In a weird way, it might be an attempt to clear his name if he believes that's not true.
If this were true, do you not think some of the hookers that Michael was with would have come out and say, I had sex with Michael
Bozo.
Jackson?
I mean, Michael Jackson.
Let's find out what's trending, Gina Grant.
Well, Hollywood is mourning the loss of sitcom creator, director, and actor Gary Marshall. The 81-year-old was a friend of the show, a personal friend of Mark's. He will be missed. It was family night at the RNC last night as Donald Trump Jr. and Tiffany Trump gave speeches praising their dad. I was waiting for Tiffany to say, and I am told by top aides that he is a warm and wonderful man. Because you never hear about Tiffany. I don't really know what their relationship
is. Well, Trump is hitting the family beat, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, well, the family beating Scott Baio. And here's what's trending in sports. Clayton Kershaw is out indefinitely for the Dodgers because of lower back problems. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. One of the biggest events in American history happened on this day in 1969. We'll find out what it was on Four Reasons Today Doesn't Suck. That's at 7:35. But first, the Zombies. This is Mark in the Morning.
Now, on Reasons Today Doesn't Suck, some days there's 8, 9, I've even had 10. Today I've got 4. Only 4. But one of them is pretty freaking big.
1.
Happy birthday. Carlos Santana is 69. After bursting into stardom following a memorable Woodstock performance, the Californian self-named band scored hits with Black Magic Woman, O Ye Como Va, and Evil Ways. Here, Carlos talks about Woodstock.
Basically, just me trying to land. You know, I was very, very high while I was on stage. Actually, I was having a mescaline experience at the peak of it. So all I can remember is just landing, drinking a lot of water while the conga players are playing their solos, and just praying to God to keep me in time and in tune. I'll never forget the sound of the music coming out of our bodies through the amplifiers, through the speakers, and to the hill or an ocean of flesh, and then coming back to us. By the time it came back to us, you know, it has a different sound, and I'll never forget that sound.
You know, Mark, the way you say one of his hit songs makes me think he should record a Christmas carol, a Christmas song. Will you say the first one again?
O Ye Como Va?
Don't you think he should do a Christmas version, O Ye Como All Ye Faithful? The way you say it, I think it'd be perfect.
I think it's a pregnant idea, Gina.
2.
It was on this day back in 1985. Sting's solo debut, The Dream of the Blue Turtles, entered the top 40. It was on this day in 1976, Hank Aaron hits the final home run of his career, leaving him with a total of, Mikey?
700 and, oh man, I should know this now. I can't believe my mind went blank. 455?
That is 755? Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then San Francisco Giant guy Barry Bonds.
I think his fake record is 7.
With an asterisk.
Eight. It's like 804. It's not a real record, so I don't know it.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, because of the alleged steroid use, everybody's saying. Look, if you want to see the perfect swing, look up Hank Aaron swinging at a baseball. His head did not move. Mm-hmm. It was perfect.
4.
10. 9. Ignition sequence start.
Well, those of you that are old like me, you'll remember where you were on this day in 1969. One small step for man. American astronaut Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to walk on the moon.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Now, I won't even say that. So when I went to introduce Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Doheny Blues Festival, mm-hmm. I drove from my hotel down to, is it Dana Point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I kept seeing signs as I'm driving, toll road coming. Toll road coming. And I'm thinking, well, I just won't take it. It was one of those things where you have no choice.
Right.
You drive across a stretch of road getting to Dana Point that is a toll road. And then I see signs that have a phone number where you're supposed to call and do something. I don't have time to do something.
Right.
So I crossed the toll road going to Doheny, and I crossed it again coming back. We got a letter in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had 2 infractions of a toll road. And they also claimed, we've tried many times to reach you. That's a bunch of bull crap. Okay. So 2 toll road infractions. Take a guess how much we had to pay.
2. So whatever is double it, I'm going to say a total of, I'm saying $280.
Mikey.
$142.
$260.
Yep. I know how they roll. Wow. I've been hit before.
What the hell?
Yeah. Welcome to California.
Now, if I had called the number, what would have happened?
I've never seen a number.
What they do is, because I had this when I went down to that area, and you can go to the website too. So I went to the website, and they have you type in your license plate, and then your bill is there, and you pay the bill. But you obviously didn't do that, so you got a big fine.
Also, Mark, I got a ticket for going there too, but they sent the notice, but they still said that it was waived because I had no choice but to take it. So
Get the wave. 206. My kids will not eat because I drove across 10 really? Feet of road and it's got toll attached to it. So, as you know, Donald Trump clinched the Republican nomination at the convention yesterday, but people are still talking about how his wife, Melania, plagiarized her speech. We have Donald on the phone. Thank you for calling in, Donald.
It's an honor to hear my voice, Mark. It really is. And I wish people would stop talking about the plagiarism and start talking about how great my kids' speeches were. Donald Trump Jr. was fantastic, and Tiffany Trump knocked it out of the park.
Okay, yeah, I suppose.
And wait until you see the speeches from the rest of my kids. Ivanka Trump is going to be amazing. Amazing. And then Eric Trump will just kill it. He'll kill it. And then my 10-year-old son, Barron Trump, is going to talk about his favorite types of dinosaurs for 15 minutes straight. And you'll be astounded by Devin Ruffington Trump.
Devin Ruffington Trump? I can't say I've heard of that one.
Oh, he's a great public speaker. Not as great as his sister, Peppercorn D'Angelo Trump. Peppy's got talent, that's for sure. Then Winthrop Barnacle Trump III is going to blow everybody away.
How many kids do you have, Donald?
And you'll be on the edge of your seat when you hear from my son, Flittington Shadplurf Trump. He's got the skills to pay the bills, Mark, believe me. And you'll hang onto my daughter, Papplediff Dumbledore Trump's every word.
Is that all of them?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Is what I would say if that were all of them, which it is not. Then there's my son, Polly Schmeffin Nipple Drip Trump. He's a go-getter, Mark. A go-getter. And my daughter, Laser-Face Toffee Sack Trump, has got it all. And one thing's for sure, none of them will be plagiarizing anything. Plagiarism is wrong, and it's something that only a hack would do.
Great.
And wait until you see the speeches from my other kids in the 10 o'clock hour.
Cool. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the person speaking first.
Who?
The child that's speaking first.
Who is speaking first in the 10 o'clock hour?
What are you asking me for?
I'm telling you who's speaking first.
Who?
That's correct.
What?
What is speaking second? And there won't be any plagiarism because that's lazy writing.
Listen, Donald, thank you for calling in.
Goodbye, Trump.
Are you talking to yourself?
No, that's the name of my daughter. She's speaking third in the 10 o'clock hour.
Okay, goodbye, Trump.
2016, Trump.
What?
He's speaking fourth.
Eric,
it'll be phenomenal.
Eric. I was waiting for you to stumble on one of the names.
I was in the home stretch. Nipple drip.
Oh, hey, when they go well, they're good. When there's a hiccup, they're great.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do? You can't win them all.
No.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you still, now your Trump is one of your best, do you still to this day like watch the convention and work on your voice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always watching his reaction. Like, I'm always looking for a sound bite. Sometimes it just before a call, I'll play an old interview of him or him on the telephone just to kind of get into that range. You know,
perfect.
Like, where am I today? Like, when you first wake up in the morning, you're just like, And you got to get into that range. You got to hit it and quit it. You know what I'm talking about?
Eric, have a great day, my friend.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Mark.
See you. It's only words. All right, Gina, get ready.
All right.
You're going to be quizzed.
Uh-oh.
Dictionary.com, in its efforts to stay up to date, has added 300 new words to its database, including ISIS, Zika, and mom jeans.
That's quite a trio.
Okay, now I'll be honest with you and tell you that I did not know prior to the story what any of these were. You tell me.
All right, I'll try.
They're adding Aldesco, What is that?
Aldesco.
Aldesco.
Oh, I'm going to use my, let's see, if alfresco is outside, maybe, oh, Aldesco's eating lunch at your desk.
Well done.
Yes.
Wow.
This is why I want to be on Jeopardy.
Oh, my God.
So from now on, when you have lunch at your own desk during work, you're going Aldesco.
Yes. Nothing right. matters after this.
Man spread.
Oh, that's when you're like on a subway or a train and the dude has his legs spread so nobody else can fit and sit down next to him.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Lamestream.
Oh, like the lamestream media that Sarah Palin's always talking about.
Noting or relating to traditional print and broadcast media.
Yeah. I think that Sarah Palin may have coined that. Wasn't that hers?
Right. Yeah.
Two more. Dezo.
Dezo?
Mm-hmm.
Can you spell it, please?
D-E-S-O.
Can I have its root of origin, please?
I don't know.
Oh, we're not doing a spelling bee. I don't know. What's Dezo?
Designated driver.
Oh, I like that.
This one you'll probably know. Obviously, I didn't. NBD.
No big deal.
Correct. An acronym for no big deal. In addition to the new words, dictionary.com has also revised over 1,700 existing entries.
I like it. Aldesco. I still feel good about that.
Lessons to be learned. In England, a man has sued a strip club for, quote, coercing him to spend a third of his salary while he was blacked out. Gil David got drunk at his friend's bachelor party at the Spearmint Rhino and then woke up to a bill of $10,000. As anybody who's ever spent time in a strip club knows, your money can go very, very quickly in there. Drinks are expensive. The girls are even more expensive. Now, do you and Tim ever go to a strip club?
No. You know why? He's not into it. He's done been there, done that. I think he thinks they're kind of whatever. Because you're not a strip club guy either.
No. Probably one of the hottest things I've ever seen. Well, let me go back. One of the reasons that I don't go to strip clubs is because I'm not going to bang anybody in there.
No, you are not.
And that just, I don't know, it's seedy to me.
Ooh,
however.
It's seedy to you? That must be pretty seedy.
Well, would these ladies be up there dancing and taking off their clothes if it was free, if they didn't make any money? No, they're being paid to do it. And for me, it kind of takes away. Now, if Linda said to me, I would like to go to a strip club with you, that would be it.
That's hot.
That would turn me on more than anything. Let me go back. A girl calls us up on Mark and Brian, and she said, I've never stripped, but I would like to. I look really good, and I've never done it, but if you guys could work it out, then I would love to do it. So we were all over this. We called, and we got a strip club. To give us an hour. And we packed it with Mark and Brian fans, and out this girl came, and she was hot, and she smoked it. Now, she didn't have all the moves down, but watching a non-professional do it because she wanted to...
That's hot.
That was beyond hot. I'm hot now. I'm turned on now.
You're flustered.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, terrible news for Dodger fans.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of hope, Mark, that Clayton Kershaw would be coming back maybe as soon as this weekend or early next week, but that has now been pushed back. As you'll remember, he hasn't pitched since June 26, had the mild, they're calling it a mild herniated disc in his lower back, and in his most recent throwing session this past Saturday, he experienced more back discomfort, and so he's going to stay on the disabled list. So that's not very... And then when you figure that Hyun-Jin Ryu has been trying to come back for a year and a half, 2 years now, he's now back on the DL for tendonitis. The Dodgers really are thin at pitching. What's amazing is the Dodgers are 12-6 since Kershaw left the team with his back problems. They won last night over Washington 8-4. So the Dodgers keep winning even without Clayton Kershaw. And the Angels keep winning. They have won five in a row, 8-6 over Texas last night. Albert Pujols, 2 3-run home runs, 6 runs batted in. He's now 4 home runs shy of Mark McGwire and 10th on the all-time home run list. But then after he hits the 2 home runs, Albert got plunked in the head with a pitch. I mean, this is not just hit. You get hit in the head, it's a different thing. It's being beaned. But he just calmly walked down to first base. But, you know, Mikey's thinking that there might be some extra fireworks tonight, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Gotta
maybe
be.
Somebody being thrown at.
Watch
so
out,
every manager, Mike Socha, whoever I've ever talked to and asked directly, have you ever told anybody to go for a person? No, doesn't exist. That's a load of crap. You have to pay the toll in baseball.
The unwritten rule of baseball, you throw at us, we throw back at you. It's as simple as that. Of course, in the American League, it's tough because the pitcher never has to come to the plate. You know, in the National League, that's kind of self-regulated because, oh, you threw at me, next time you're coming up, pitcher, you know, look out. But
I'll also say that back in the day when I was a kid watching professional baseball and the benches would clear, then it was just kind of wrestling. Now guys are full-on pissed off and fist-fighting.
Yeah, there's some pretty good punches thrown now in baseball fights. Hey, NFL news. And, you know, Mark, we've been talking about this data chip the past few days. Mm. I was thinking they got to get this thing in soon because how it would add to television broadcast and everything else. I mean, think about it. They will have stats on every single player. So you'll say which quarterback throws the fastest. They'll say the fastest ball thrown this year was X amount of miles per hour by so-and-so because it was measured. Who was the fastest runner? Well, this wide receiver caught a ball and was running and he was clocked at so many miles per hour. Not, you know, seconds in a 40-yard dash, but miles per hour. I think it would add so much to an NFL telecast.
Todd, this is the third day you've talked about this chip. I now want it. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be pissed at you.
Well, I brought it up, and then the more I thought about it, and then I thought about it even more, and then you're right. It just kind of mushrooms. I'm like you. I'm thinking, you put that chip in a ball, and all of a sudden these games, and of course you'll have the information there at the stadiums too when you go see your games in person. So that'd be fantastic. Hey, Rams camp, don't forget, opens up a week from today. UC Irvine Rams camp opens
now,
up.
You Rams fans, I'm going to say it again. His name is Todd Gurley. He's a running back. This guy is a superstar. You're going to love watching him run the football.
Yep, and it'll all begin for the training camp a week from today. A week from today. Hey, I got to pass this on, too. And this is Uncle Joe said, make sure you mention that Jeff Gordon. This is true, Mark. NASCAR, Jeff Gordon's going to drive for Dale Earnhardt the next 2 weeks. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has kind of a vertigo problems, nausea, dizziness. Oh. And so Jeff Gordon's going to run the Brickyard 400, then Pocono the following week. So he's going to be the driver there.
Wow, that's exciting.
That is exciting. Hey, let's switch it over to golf real quick, okay? Because Tiger Woods is out of the PGA next week, and his agent says he's done for golf this season. His agent, Mark Steinberg, says, nope, the whole year is a washout. The soonest we'll see Tiger is next golf season. So the last time he played in a golf tournament was last August. So it has been a while.
It seems like it's done. Is there any way this guy gets his game back?
You know, I would say he's done, Mark, but the one thing I've learned is never underestimate Tiger Woods. And all of the great players are like that. You never underestimate the real champions.
The guy that won this past weekend, how old is he?
40 years old. Henrik Stenson, 40 years old. That same age as Tiger.
And then you've got,
Mickelson's 46. Mickelson's 46.
Boy, Mickelson was playing great. The other guy was playing just a tad bit better.
It was one of the best duels in golf we have ever seen.
I enjoyed it.
And finally, college football. Nick Saban, head football coach at Alabama. I guess who he says is the best quarterback that he has faced other than Cam Newton.
Hmm.
Deshaun Watson, Mark, the Clemson quarterback. You know this guy. He's unbelievable. The Clemson quarterback, whom they, of course, faced in the national championship. But Nick Saban says that Clemson ought to be the preseason number one ranked team because they have the best college quarterback that he has faced since Cam Newton at Auburn.
I'm going to have to look this dude up.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Great, great, great player. Hey, that does it for sports. Brought to you by Frontier Toyota, beautiful Valencia. Don't forget, it's a great time to buy a car. FrontierToyota.com. And Mark, I'm going to take my microphone on the road the next 2 days because I am in transit to Charlotte, North Carolina to see my grandkids. And I figure I'll drop by your place on Saturday. We'll have a great old time around the pool and the lake.
Todd, nobody has ever had worse timing. Linda and I are flying out to California on Friday.
Wait a second. Wait a second. So you're telling me I'm coming there and you're leaving?
Yes.
It's almost like you do it on purpose, Mark.
I'm starting to think you don't want to see me, and that's fine.
So in the room, we have Danny Trejo and Craig Moss. And before we get into why these two gentlemen are here, Danny, there was a situation where one of the producers of Machete texted you and you didn't respond. And then he questioned you about it, and your response was, "Machete, don't text."
That's absolutely right. That was Robert Rodriguez. I was trying to get a hold of him. And I said, "Robert, why don't you answer my phone calls?" He says, "Every time you call me, I'm either filming or in an interview. Text me." And I said, "Machete don't text." So he put that in the movie.
That's too good. Okay, we'll start with Craig. Craig, tell everybody who you are and what this project is.
Danny and I did a bunch of films together called Badass. We did three of them. And so on the third Badass that we did in Baton Rouge, Danny was about to turn 70 years old. And Danny said, "Wouldn't it be great to do a badass in a retirement home?" Kind of like a diehard in a retirement home scenario. I thought, you know, that's a brilliant idea. It's actually not funny. It's actually a great idea. So I wrote it. Danny loved the script, and we were going to do it at Fox because that's where we did all three Badass films. But Fox shut down their lower budget production arm. So we said, you know what, we're just going to do it ourselves. And so we found out about Indiegogo and wanted to get the fans and the people involved and have them sort of support.
It was crowdfunding.
Making crowdfunding, exactly.
Yeah.
To support the film. And so we said, let's do it. This is be the greatest thing ever to do.
Now, Craig, I've done some screenplay writing, and I spend sometimes 3 to 4 times longer on the pre-write before I actually get to the script. I build the blueprint of where I want the script to go, and then the script, based on how detailed the blueprint is, the script moves quickly. How do you write?
Well, you're right. I mean, you're doing the right process. I put together like a beat sheet of all the beats in the film. And separate it out by the three structures. And then from there, you're right, you have your blueprint, and then you can go ahead and write the screenplay, which makes it, you know, with this movie, Social Security, it only took me about 2.5 weeks to write after I had the blueprint together.
Yeah, the writing, because once you know where it's going.
Exactly.
The dialogue just falls into place.
Yes, absolutely true. That
the
is true.
Beat sheet. That sounds kind of cool. That sounds very FM. The beat sheet.
It's a list of all the people you're going to kick their ass.
If you just joined us, actor Danny Trejo and director-writer Craig Moss are in. They're working on a project called Social Security. So Danny has a taco place. Name it, and how's it going?
It's called Trejo's Tacos. It's a restaurant right on the corner of La Brea between Pico and Olympic on Sycamore, right on the corner.
Right down the street.
And so far, we made the top 20 best restaurants in Los Angeles, and
wow,
we're doing really good. It's like, you know, it's a great place to eat. I eat there all the time.
All right, now, you know, we all have had tacos. What makes yours special?
Well, what we did is we tried to you know, because when you're in the entertainment industry, it's like a lot of people, 5 or 6 people, want to go to dinner at once. But inevitably, somebody's... I can't eat gluten, or I'm a vegetarian, you know, and so we did it all. We got vegetarian, we've got gluten-free, we've got carnitas and brisket, basically everything. So it made it really simple. But we've had people say, this is the first time my whole family can eat together. Aww. Because, You know, everybody loves tacos. I mean, come on. It's Los Angeles.
Denny, you had me at brisket.
Oh, they're delicious. They're my favorite. The brisket taco is my favorite.
All right, what time do you open?
We open at 11, and we're open till 9.
Gina?
Yeah.
Next week, on a day that I can, we all are going to go down.
Awesome. Come on down.
And mow some tacos.
Don't you have a fried chicken taco?
Oh, Dibs. God. It is we have a fried chicken wrap. It's like, yes. It's funny. I love it because the United States, we start calling things wrap. It's a burrito.
It's a burrito. Yeah, it's a burrito.
I don't care what's wrapped in. It's a burrito.
Now, Greg, I know that you've probably already done the production work. What do you think your budget is for this film?
This film... around $2.5 million for the film, and we're just trying to raise a smaller amount for the movie itself because we have people that are putting money in for the film. But you know, included with how they support the film are different perks. So depending on how much you want to put up, it's anywhere from $5 all the way up to stuff in the thousands of dollars, and it goes from you can have for $5 you can have like a special thanks credit at the end of the film. You can also, at some point, if you want to be a producer on the film, there's an amount for that. If you want to get into a fight with Danny on screen, which who wouldn't want to get into a fight with Danny on screen and get punched in the face by Danny, there is a perk for that as well.
Oh, so, wow.
Gina,
my God.
This is your chance.
I'm listening. Danny, would you do me the honor of punching me in the face?
Only if you punch me back.
Now, Craig, I'm a huge fan of film, and it seems as though... we here in America have become the king of the blockbuster, the big $200, $300 million. And then we're getting our ass kicked in moving small pictures that really say something. How has this affected you in this town as a person looking for work?
Yeah, it's hard now because everybody wants an IP, they call it, which is intellectual property. So it's either like a board game, an existing book that's New York Times bestseller, or an old film like Ghostbusters or, you know, whatever it is. So a lot of these smaller films have been pushed aside for that. And so now our movies that we do for a very, I mean, in movie terms, these movies that we're making are very low budget. It's just a much more difficult way to get them financed than it used to be because the studios aren't looking for these types of
things. They don't want to gamble. They want something that already worked once.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have to be creative and figure out, okay, how are we going to get it made? How are we going to get the financing to do it? So,
if you just joined us, we're speaking with actor Danny Trejo and writer-director Craig Moss. We're going to do some business, come back, and we're going to play the island questions. I will not let you two get out of here without the island questions.
Yes.
We'll continue. He had some Spinal Tap under him. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Miss Grant.
Well, beaches in Long Beach are still closed as a gigantic sewage spill downtown has affected some of the bay. Do not go dipping in there. The SpaceX Dragon has arrived at the International Space Station, and a Texas man's video of himself flying off the side of a water slide and falling down a rocky cliff has gone viral on Facebook, garnering 76,000 views in less than 24 hours. If you're a sadist, want to laugh at somebody else's misfortune, go to Mark in the Morning Facebook and check it out. But the guy posted it himself, so don't feel too bad.
Speaking of which, did you see the guy riding the water slide and he went off of it?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, he went off of it.
I saw it.
Are you off your meds? I just said that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was printing something. My complete bad.
Danny, Craig, this is my life. This is my life almost every day.
Mark
anyway,
in the Morning, 100.3.
Thank you, Danny. I'm Gina Grad. That's what's trending online. More with Danny Trejo and Craig Moss. First, Jay Giles. This is Mark in the Morning. My God.
So we have actor Danny Trejo and Craig Moss, writer, director. Their project is Social Security. We'll talk more about it in a minute. Right now, we're going to do the island questions. You fellas, not together, but separately, you're going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic island. You can take one kind of candy bar that you can eat the rest of your life. What candy bar will that be, Dan?
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
You know what? I'd have to go with a Snickers.
You would have to, wouldn't you?
That's one of our top answers.
Well, he's in the best Snickers commercial of all time with Mike and Carol Brady.
That is
Steve Buscemi.
That, I swear to God, when you stab that knife into the table, that is just hysterical. So funny, so good. All right, Craig, what's your candy bar?
Well, I am a huge Three Musketeers fan. Ooh. That's one of my favorites.
We had Three Musketeers just the other day.
Yeah, funny. Wilcox, yeah, so that's a good one.
All right, you can take one kind of food that you're going to eat the rest of your life. Danny.
Oh, God, I'd take tacos.
Trejo's tacos.
You'd be Trejo's, Trejo's tacos?
I'd have Trejo's tacos cater to that island.
Craig.
Oh, I would have endless barbecue beef ribs.
Oh, wow. Good answer.
Yeah.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah, that was a good answer.
Thank you.
But we have brisket tacos.
Dude, Craig, the other day my wife and I were eating at Chili's, and our son Matthew is getting married to his fiance Eleni in November, so we're on the wedding diet. Okay. But I opened up that menu, and there those ribs were. I didn't do it, but I fought it. I wanted. I love. All right, sweet or tangy?
Oh, is that to Danny?
No, that's you.
No, me.
You like your ribs sweet or tangy? Vinegary.
Yeah. I like it a little more sweet, personally.
Yeah,
I'm a vinegary guy.
Are you?
Me too.
Okay.
More tangy.
You can take...
And salsa.
Oh, yeah.
You can take one album to your island. What will it be, Danny?
Wow. One album. God, man. People are going to hate me. I would take... my son's album, Gold.
Oh, nice. Good.
Craig.
Probably White Album.
Okay, good
solid,
answer.
Solid, solid. Yeah.
You can take one movie. What will it be?
Wow. That's a tough, but I would, you know what? I would have to take The Searchers with John Wayne.
Oh, well, he's dipping back into the classic westerns when this division, when reds were red. Craig, what movie are you taking?
I probably would have to take Stripes.
Nice.
Oh.
That's a fact, Jack.
That movie, for guys, most any guy can quote that entire thing.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear any underwear when I do something very unusual.
Any of you guys,
yes.
Any of you guys touch my stuff.
And I'll kill you.
You just made the death list.
Okay, so somebody to talk to. Dead or alive, they'll be in their prime and alive on your island. Somebody that you can have conversation with. Danny.
Just conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just conversation this time.
Wow. Yeah, I'd have to take my son. He's got the... He can talk.
Craig.
Oh, my God. If I don't see my wife, she kills me.
Can't say your wife.
Yeah, I can't see my wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would then... I would take Danny.
Nice!
Yeah, we get along great.
That's right.
All right, for sexual gratification, dead or alive,
I would not take Danny for that.
And you cannot say wife or girlfriend or boyfriend. Danny, for sexual gratification,
wow,
who you go?
Wow, that's a tough one because I've worked with some of the most... gorgeous ladies in Hollywood. I got a picture of Michelle Rodriguez in my wallet.
She's going with you?
I think right. She's Michelle.
Craig.
Dear Lord. And no wife?
No wife.
No. Yeah, you're protected.
Okay, I appreciate that. I would probably... wow. Probably Kate Upton. I think she's quite attractive.
Oh, solid choice.
But it would just be for conversation.
Oh,
really,
sure.
You
know,
have you seen the picture of her pulling herself out of a pool wearing a white t-shirt?
Well, that was the image I just had in my head when you asked me who I would bring. So, yeah.
All right. The movie Social Security. Now tell everybody how they can get involved in funding, helping you fund?
We'll have a link. We'll have a link on Mark in the Morning and Mark in the Morning Facebook as well.
Awesome. Oh, nice, nice, nice. But good. In addition, they can go to Indiegogo.com, IndieGogo.com, and then under the search bar, just type in Social Security or Danny Trejo, and then you'll see the page, and they can get on there.
Get great, punched great. In the face by Danny.
That's right. Great perks. Great perks up there to be involved to make a movie together.
It's awesome.
So, Craig, when you get it made and it's ready for release, let us know. We'll have you guys back in.
Oh, right that's on. Very nice. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
And, Danny, we're going to come eat tacos.
You
down
better.
At
yes,
next
you're
week.
On. And don't forget, this is Mark in the Morning. 100.3 The Sound.
So, the moment that I heard about this, I was very intrigued. Mm-hmm. Joining us is Chef Paul Cow from the restaurant Burnt Crumbs in Huntington Beach. Now, Paul, you're a chef, right?
Yes, sir.
You have created, basically, and I'm going to get very detailed here because I'm a cook myself. You have created a grilled cheese sandwich with spaghetti in it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's simple.
Now, I got my eating team. I got Kotz and I got Josh the Fleeganator, which I'll explain. They're going to be working this weekend at the Orange County Fair. We'll get more into that. So now, do you make your spaghetti sauce from scratch?
Absolutely.
What's
absolutely
in it?
100%. We start with a bunch of garlic, a lot of spices, and like really, really, really nice tomato sauce. And we let that simmer for about 2 hours, and we make a meat sauce out of it, and then we cook everything in-house. We try to make everything from scratch if we can. Then we put a ton of cheese into it, and it kind of solidifies, and we turn it into basically patties, and we cut them up, and then we put them inside between sourdough bread with a ton of mozzarella cheese. And it was just a late night, come home late from work kind of concoction, and had leftover spaghetti, and then it kind of just worked. And then we said, hey, we have opened a restaurant, we're going to do this grilled cheese.
You know, this is a huge missed opportunity for us, and I'm going to blame Mikey. That whole, while he was explaining how this works, we should have had 70s porn music going because that was sexy, what he was saying.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Before the Fleeganator and Kotz sample it, has it been a success?
Oh, absolutely. When we first opened, we opened 3 weeks ago in Huntington Beach, and you know, we were selling just a few of these a day, and it was actually, to be honest, it was kind of afterthought. We wanted to put a grilled cheese on the menu, just something approachable for kids and moms and that kind of thing. And, you know, we have all these other great sandwiches that we're very proud of that we, you know, spend hours and hours of prepping. And this one was, not that it was an afterthought, but it was more like, hey, it's total comfort food. It's something I created at home, and it was leftover spaghetti and leftover sourdough, and just slapped it together. And and then, you know, it kind of went viral a little bit. It went all over Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, the guys over at Food Beast, they came, they shot some videos. And, dude, the next thing we know, like, we're selling, like, over 100 of these a day. And it was crazy. Like, this past weekend was just crazy for us. And it was all because of this stretchy spaghetti grilled cheese.
All right. So now, Josh the Fleeganator and Kotz, chick on the street, they're going to sample basically a grilled cheese sandwich with homemade spaghetti on it.
Excited.
So good.
Eat, guys.
Okay, here we go.
Crunch it on into that mic.
I'm going to dip mine into my marinara dipping cup.
Josh took 5 bites in one.
You're going to get that all in your beard. You can get that all in your beard.
Oh. You guys.
Josh liked that
dipping
thing.
Breathe.
Have you?
Josh, grab a mic because this is too good.
This is insane.
It's like because you don't have to use a fork. All the spaghetti just happens.
This is everything that I ever wanted to do to a sandwich.
Katie, describe the taste.
It tastes like the best grilled cheese I've ever had because it has spaghetti in it. I mean, there's no other taste to describe other than there's magnificent spaghetti inside of cheese and magnificent bread, and it's all melted and amazing.
It tastes like happy grandma's.
This is one of this is one of the best foods that anyone has ever brought into the station.
So
I mean,
good.
This is unbelievable.
Josh is almost gone.
Yeah, I just want to break this and leave.
Josh, if I could get you to not eat for a second. Piggyback on Kate. Try to describe the tastes that are happening in your mouth.
It's got the buttery crunch of the bread, and it's got this gooey cheesiness, and it's all followed up with like the perfect amount of sauce and spaghetti together. And you would think that it's like super all over the place, messy, but the cheese holds everything together, which makes it 10 times better. And then you dip it in marinara, and that's just like, it's just party time right there. You gotta try it without that, without the marinara, and then go in the marinara. And
take
you're like,
that
okay,
bite and then do a palate cleanser.
All right, Josh is dipping again.
He's done.
Mark, they have sauce all over their face.
I don't even care.
And by the way, Gina said it, and it's true. When Josh takes a bite, he takes three and then four.
I couldn't stop. You know, this is something you don't take one bite and go, that was tasty.
No.
You're like, okay, I need to go back in.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I've got something for you.
Uh-oh. Thank you very much.
Take a bow.
Never stands.
Dude, look, one of the great things that I like about cooking, and I cooking is a pleasure because you can mix and match so many different things and do it so many different ways or return to the way you've always done it. But you have realized that variety is the spice of life, and you have created a sandwich that how many hundreds a day are you literally selling?
Right now, probably a couple hundred. And hopefully after this show, a couple more hundred.
Is this your number one sandwich right now?
Yes. It was actually, when we first opened, it was our least popular sandwich. And by now, it's by far the most popular sandwich. It's just crazy.
I mean, look, this is great. You go home one night, you realize you've got a little bit of spaghetti, you've got a little bit of bread, and you've got some cheese, and you threw something together, it tasted good, you opened a restaurant, and now look at you. That's killer great.
You know what would be funny, though? I'm sure after explaining how to do it, everyone's going to think they're Mario Batali.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to set up a website for sandwich fails, because everyone's going to try, and no one's going to be able to do it like they do it at Burnt Crumbs.
I used to work the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. slot, and I'd get home about 4 or 5. And I got home one morning. I was starving. I had a can of chili, but I was hungrier than one can. And I had a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli. I combined the two. It was awesome. I crapped for 7 days. It was just great.
So you're both basically the same. Yeah,
exactly.
You do the same thing.
Same.
All right, so now you just heard Josh and Katie's review. This thing is a grilled cheese sandwich with homemade spaghetti on it, inside of it. So it's a sandwich. They're selling several hundred a day. Are you lunch and dinner or
yes,
just lunch?
Yes, lunch and dinner. Lunch and dinner.
And do you serve, what do you call this sandwich?
Straight up, it's called the spaghetti grilled cheese.
Simple.
Super simple.
Yep.
Now, is the sandwich as popular at dinner as it is for lunch?
It's actually more popular at dinner than it is at lunch. Way more popular at dinner.
All right, listen. Paul's a good fella. He created something great. I want all of you to head down to Huntington Beach. Do they need reservations or just come
in? No. We're super approachable, super casual. We're located at Pacific City. It's a brand new, right there on the beach. Fantastic view, right in the ocean.
The restaurant is Burnt Crumbs. Paul, thank you for going to the trouble to come in and make these sandwiches and visit with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I can't wait to try it. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Let's find out what's trending for the final time today, Gina Grad.
Well, Californians have mused for months about the mystery buyer of a Powerball ticket worth $528 million. The couple holding the lucky numbers was busy lining up lawyers and financial advisors to help them handle their enormous winnings. So you were right, Mark. That's why they were laying low. The Powerball winners were trying to get their finances in order before they came out to everybody. A California lottery spokesman said on Tuesday that Marvin and May Acosta went to a state lottery office in Van Nuys on Friday, flanked by security, to claim their share of the record $1.6 billion Powerball drawing.
You know, they did the exact right thing, because you take somebody who goes from making very little money to that kind of, you there's no part of you that's capable of handling it.
Yeah.
So they've done the absolute smartest thing they could.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, actor Jeremy Piven had a gruesome run-in with a bicyclist in L.A. yesterday. Witnesses say Piven parked his Cadillac next to the curb and swung his door open right as the guy on a bike was pedaling by. The cyclist slammed right into the open door, was badly injured. He had to be taken to the hospital with cuts on his chest. Although Piven was at fault, he was not issued a ticket. ticket. So maybe he'll be okay. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is The Who.
That wraps it for our Wednesday, yet Uncle Joe stands prepped and pumped with a 10 at 10.
Wow. That's quite a job description.
Prepped and pumped.
And pumped at the same good God almighty. Well, the Sounds 10 at 10 today, supported by Celino and Barnes. Injured, get immediate help. Call Celino and Barnes. Injury attorneys at 800-888-8888. Today, we're featuring a very prime year for Southern California. There was no traffic problems. Billy Squire, well, he was a problem. And movies came out like, Ghostbusters came out. Oh. What year?
81?
That's exactly right. 1984 is the year we're featuring. 1984. And the 10 of 10. Mr. Mark!
Mikey, if you're going to eat the grilled cheese with spaghetti, turn your mic off. I heard you take a bite.
It's like a virus around here. Nobody can stop eating the damn sandwich.
Dude, I'm on my second one. This is amazing, man.
All right, you won't pass it until March, but go ahead and enjoy it. Now, tomorrow, Chick on the Street is going to be down at the Orange County Fair. As you know, we've been telling you we're appearing at the fair with a full show this coming Saturday at noon, the 23rd, Saturday at noon. So Chick on the Street is going to be down there checking things out. We have our last family four-pack of tickets to give you so you can come see us. And then Classic Rock News with Sal. That's all tomorrow. Mikey!
Like that sandwich you just ate? That's all! It's gone! Here's Genesis, Mark in the Morning.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.